Lord, there are so many opportunities we have to praise you and thank you for who you are and what you've done. And we pray, Lord, as we reflect on your word together now, that you would speak to our hearts, that you would help us, Lord, to grow in faith together with you. Holy Spirit, we pray, come amongst us and speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Please do sit down. It's been fantastic to baptize today and really giving thanks to God for the way in which that he has been speaking to your hearts to bring you to that place of coming this morning. And I know that everybody here will be so encouraged that you've taken that next step in inviting Jesus into your lives by asking him to be your strength. Faith is given to us by God, and it can grow or fade depending on how it's nurtured. And it's my prayer that Danny and Aubrey, along with everybody here today, will continue to find strength in trusting in Jesus more and more. You'll notice I didn't just say trusting in Jesus, full stop. I said more and more at the end, because every single one of us are in that place of having an opportunity to grow in faith with him. I wonder, though, why it is that we can find strength in someone who lived over 2,000 years ago in a culture that is, in many ways, so far removed from our own. While Jesus' life might have given us a guide to great moral living, how can he, so long after his time here physically on earth, give us hope and strength, especially when we sadly see and so often experience so many things that cause us suffering and sadness? Our reading from the Bible today speaks into that. It's taken from Paul's letter to his friends in Ephesus, and it begins in the middle of the first chapter, which we started last week. So for anyone that wasn't here, don't worry, it's both online if you want to have a listen, but also I'm going to give a very brief summary afterwards. So thank you very much, Phil, for coming to do that.
The reading is from Ephesians 1, 15 to 23. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love towards all the saints, and for this reason I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power. God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet and has made him the head of all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all.
Fantastic. Thank you very much for reading that, Phil. Okay, so there may be bits of that that you got, some that you think, hold on a minute, you know, what's he going on about? Hopefully it will all make sense in a bit. But the thing is, and God will continue to reveal what this means to us. I don't know about you, but every time I read a reading from the Bible, it speaks to me in a different way because my heart's in a different place and God meets me in that place. Paul makes some amazing claims in this fairly short passage of his letter. He's previously encouraged his friends to give thanks to God, and he's praised the Lord for the amazing things that he's done. He said that his friends had been chosen by God, blessed by God, and that we'd been made by God his children, that God had made us his children by the forgiveness that we'd received through Jesus' death on the cross. After Jesus' resurrection, the Father had then sent the Holy Spirit so that those who trust in Jesus can have a guarantee of complete freedom. In all that, Paul said we should give our lives as an act of worship to God. When Shree and I first married, we had just recently come to trust in Jesus. In fact, it was through our going to get married in a church that that happened, because we needed to go for a few weeks and months, I think it was, before, in order to be allowed to marry in the church that looked really pretty. And during that time, we realized that the church was much prettier inside, that it was the people that were the church, and they were the people that really attracted us to go, not the building. And so we kept going. And I'd finished a music course recently before, and we felt that God was calling me to leave my job to train to become a teacher. Now, that was a big thing, to give my job up when we'd just taken on a house and that we were trying to find payments every month to live in it. And what was incredible was that it just did not make sense. And yet, because we'd begun to trust Jesus, we felt that it was weird but okay to actually, for me to give my job up and go to train. And so we prayed about it and trusted that God would provide what we needed if he was asking us to take that step. We believed that he would provide because he had the power to make things work. And looking back at that decision, we went from a place of being trapped by money to a place of freedom in trusting in the power of God. From this morning's reading, did you know that if you are a follower of Jesus, then you have been called and that you have God's power at work in your life now and an inheritance to look forward to? That you have been called, you have God's power in your life, and you have an inheritance to look forward to. Paul gives thanks to God for his friends' faith and love, both in their inward relationship with him and also their outward relationships with other believers. His joy for them then flows into a prayer which Paul not only gives thanks but also mentions these three key things that he was praying for them. So firstly, he prayed that they would know the hope which Jesus had called them, or in other words, how important God's call on their lives was for their future. And we believe, Danny and Aubrey, that God has placed that call on your lives. Jesus' followers in Ephesus had been chosen, and this had transformed their lives beyond just this life. They had a hope for a future through their trust in Jesus. Whatever life threw at them, it was this hope that gave them the courage to trust God and to know that he who had called them was faithful. The Bible tells us, he who calls you is faithful, he will surely do it. So I wonder, what area of your lives at the moment might you need that courage in? What area of your lives might God be able to give you courage? Because the one who calls you is faithful. Maybe work, relationships, maybe a medical appointment, a situation, telling someone about Jesus. The one who calls you is faithful. Secondly, Paul prays that they would know the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints. Now, in this version, we didn't see the among the saints bit, because it says in the saints, but it means among. And it's by being part of and living alongside the church, that is God's people, that the Lord reveals the riches of what Jesus has done for us. We've been called through baptism, giving our lives to Jesus, and then we look forward to the inheritance that in the future will be ours. That inheritance is kept in heaven for us. We can't see it right now. We can see some of it now. We can't imagine just how amazing it will be, because it will outstrip every experience that we have had in our present lives. Knowing what Jesus has done and seeing and sharing how God is at work in our lives helps us to trust that we will finally receive that inheritance. We see some of the blessings in following Jesus now, But being alongside other believers, we see just how active God is in this world and in our lives. And that's why being an active part of the body, the church, helps us to become so much more aware of just how amazing that inheritance will be. We share in the hope of the inheritance with Jesus. And Paul says to his friends in Rome, we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. That is amazing. If Jesus is God and we are joint heirs with Christ, that is just a gift that can only be given as a gift and something that we can't possibly ever earn. It then says that we will also be glorified with Jesus. But friends, as we've seen, that provision, hope and richness, isn't only limited to our everlasting lives. We can live in not only the hope, but reality of that inheritance right now. How? Well, thirdly, Paul says his friends will know God's incomparable great power. Paul asks that they would know God's unmatched power in their lives. We've seen how the call looks to the start of our faith, the inheritance towards the future, and finally, God's power is seen in the present, right now. How would they know or recognize that power? And how would we know or recognize it? Paul said, God showed his power in Jesus when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand, the place of honor, in the heavenly places, far above rule and authority and power, above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet and has made him head over all things for the church, which is the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. While Jesus' life might have given us a guide to great moral teaching, his life goes further than just that. Jesus' death and resurrection can help you and me find strength every day. God's power that gives life has mortally wounded evil and death in the present, not just the future. And that's something that no earthly power could ever do. It's the same power that can give you and me freedom now by trusting in Jesus. There are so many powers over our lives: money, laws, governments, and those in authority. What about peer pressure? There are also spiritual powers that are not of this world and that will try to disable us too, but their power is limited. Because of Jesus' resurrection, we don't need to worry about those powers that are at work in the world or in the heavens or in wherever, because instead of worrying about them or even naming them, we are called to keep our eyes firmly on Jesus and know that his power is above them all. He will protect you and he will look after you and after your family. God's power is at work in the world, and it is also at work through you if you have said yes to him, because you are a child of God. You only need to look to God for the things that you need. But remember, however powerful he is, God's power can only be at work in us if we are in a relationship with Jesus. True freedom can only be realized through a choice to follow Jesus. It's then we receive forgiveness and new life through him and in him. While it won't mean that we're free from the challenges of life, it does mean that we face those challenges with the power of the Holy Spirit at work in us, guiding us and protecting us. Of course, we know that we live at a time when we're yet to see a final end to all evil and hurt, but we live in faith and hope as we wait for a time when Jesus will return and death will be no more. Is that good news? It's fantastic news, isn't it? And yet there are so many people in the world that don't know that hope for themselves. There's no other power that will stand up to the power of Jesus' resurrection, because all other powers are limited. Earthly powers only exist for so long. The most powerful people in our generation will pale into insignificance in a way that Jesus never will. Why? Because Jesus defeated death and rose back to life. And that's important. He didn't just die on the cross. He defeated death and he came back to life. And this, alongside being the creator of the universe, makes God's power absolutely immeasurable, but also pure, because it comes out of love. Jesus died on the cross out of love for us, so we could be free. The Bible tells us God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God lives in them. Those who trust in Jesus can hold on to the truth that, like Jesus, they too will be raised from the dead as well to a new life forever with God. Jesus' friend John had this hope and inheritance revealed to him by God, and we read about it in the final book in the Bible, Revelation. And John says this, and this is going to sound a bit weird, but that's fine, because we get the enormity of the universe, including heaven. He said, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. I heard a loud voice speaking from the throne, 'Now God's home is with his people. He will live with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them, and he will be their God. He will wipe away all tears for them from their eyes. There will be no more death, no more grief, or crying, or pain. The old things have disappeared.'" Absolutely extraordinary words. And today, in All Saints Church, in Dedworth, Windsor, England, we've celebrated God's calling, power, and inheritance. A calling which Danny and Aubrey have said yes to. Danny and Aubrey can learn to grow more in faith if they choose to see God's power at work. And finally, as they trust that power and believe in Jesus died and rose to life for them, they will come to know the riches of the inheritance that is theirs in heaven. And that journey of faith is there for every single one of us, regardless of whether we've been baptized or not. But we do need to make that choice to follow Jesus. And it's not a choice that, when we make it, necessarily makes sense. In fact, do you know what? If you think it makes sense, then it's only a little while until you realize it doesn't. Because to me, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense as to why God would come to the earth and live a human life and then end up being humiliated and crucified on a cross. That can't possibly make sense. But I know that he did it out of love, and I've seen his power at work so much in and through the lives of his church to know that he is real. And so it's my hope that we will all come to welcome and witness God's power at work in and through us, that we'd all say yes to Jesus and then grow in faith as we remain close to him and see his pure power at work in both our lives and actions in this broken world. Amen. Shall we just pray for a moment? Lord, we thank you so much for your word and the way that it reveals to us your love for us. And we pray this morning, Holy Spirit, that you would continue to speak to our hearts. That where things make sense, we would just surrender our lives to you. We thank you that you've given us God-given minds, but we thank you that you've also created us to be in relationship with you that goes beyond what we can understand. And we pray that we would surrender our understanding to you to simply say yes this morning. That where we've had faith for many years, that we would step back and look at our relationship with you to come back to the simplicity of just saying yes. Where we may never have heard of you before or trusted that you are real. Speak to our hearts. Inspire us in the power of your Holy Spirit that you would help us to see you and the riches that you have for us in inheritance way beyond this life. And grow us together as your church. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.